But so in thinking about Walter Ong and his memory and the research that surrounds me at St. Louis University in particular, I'm really curious to hear your thoughts about, this is a huge question, but how these illuminated manuscripts might help us think a little bit more about that transition from orality to literacy, and then even thinking beyond this particular historical vantage point too, to seeing the word as a feature not only of these beautifully rendered, scripts and images on this vellum, but also thinking through how the word is maybe shifting today to the internet and how we see it too. Because I think I'm always really, really intrigued by that parallel, and maybe that parallelism I need to not superimpose on that, Bill, and feel free to say that's the wrong way to look at it. But I'm really trying to wrap my head around how what you're studying might be an excellent precursor for to also think a little bit more about what we're experiencing in our own time.
No, I think the question you're asking is really at the heart of the matter, or at one of the hearts of the matters. And I think that, people, or I should say some people, particularly in the 90s, were very nervous about digital technologies and the image because of how we think about text and how Walter Ong actually opened up a sense of thinking about Gutenberg's invention, thinking about writing and how it shaped our consciousness, how writing opened up ways of thinking to us that it's always hard to say that they weren't possible before, but clearly it made them much easier. It's hard to think about a book-length argument before writing and what that might look like. But clearly, we have our intellectual tradition very much. I mean, our intellectual tradition is the book in many ways. We can't separate the two. But when I move into this territory, I always think Plato had it right. And his skepticism towards writing was really, I think, spot on in the fact that knowledge stops living when it's written down and that it can't respond to context. And I think that where we probably moved through, and one of our biggest challenges with writing and what makes for good writing many times is bringing in that context. So the context is part of the expression. And I think that that was probably something that Plato didn't have time to think through. And I think it's probably taken us hundreds of years to think through how to weave context into a piece of writing to make it more viable. But still, context shift, and we misunderstand, I think, a lot sometimes of what is in writing itself. So as we're kind of moving into kind of the digital realm, I think one of the interesting things for me is that how something like video pulls context back into the equation in really dynamic ways. It's hard to feel the same way about something when you're seeing pictures of it versus just hearing about it. I can describe the Book of Kells to you, but seeing it is a whole nother experience. And I think that with the move from writing, and where I think Plato has his finger on something, and I think we're moving back towards this and we're rethinking this, and I think it's probably going to change how we write as well, because I think it'll focus on us on it in even more ways, is that with words, it's very easy to believe in the Cartesian split between mind and body, that words on a page can feel more mental than physical. When we start doing things with the digital, when we start having images, I think it pulls the body back into play and kind of reunites us in a whole being in a way that is just absolutely wonderful. Todd Taylor did a set of interviews on video of Brett Comp people, and I always show a portion of those to my 609 class, the teaching of writing class. And something that always comes out in those videos is just the joy, the dedication, the fascination that the scholars have with teaching writing, but more so just that dedication and joy with what they're doing. It comes out in those videos in ways that I think if Todd Taylor did a great job with the video, but mm-hmm. I think if he would have tried to edit that out, he couldn't have. And I think when people read the scholarship then, they have a different sense having seen these scholars and reading their pieces rather than not seeing these scholars and reading their pieces. And so I think it brings a whole other dimension in. It's like once you've heard a poet read his own work, you read his work differently. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the constant struggle with writing, is that text on the page does lose something from the performance of that text by the writer. So consequently, I think that Walter Ong is a perfect person to pull back into this equation, because the question is how does this make our consciousness different? How does it make us different intellectuals? How does it make us different people, or invite us to be different people? And of course, we have great say in how we shape our technologies. And I think that's why Cynthia Self and Gail Hallischer's work was so important at the get-go, is to have rhetoric and composition people studying these technologies and getting some say in this from the get-go. One other thing I'll just kind of add on as well, in working with these manuscripts, the conflict at that point in time was between the visual and the oral, and not necessarily the literal and the visual. Mm-hmm. Because it was almost accepted that not everybody would know Latin. But it was, I have to wonder, and this is probably me speculating more than I should, but when I taught English in Japan, I used to love to go over to the train station and write. And mm-hmm. hearing people talk in the background, and Japanese and Americans tend to speak very quickly. And my Japanese wasn't so good that I couldn't understand what was being said unless I really paid attention. And the human voice, if it's separated from meaning, sounds just beautiful in concert. And so I used to enjoy that aspect of listening to the human voice. And I have to wonder if that is the experience of people in general, even how well some of the monks and the priests actually knew Latin is really in question. If it was more the experience of hearing the sound of the human voice and having a sense of the meaning rather than being able to follow the meaning. So mm-hmm. I think orality had a slightly different sense and tie into consciousness, particularly in the insular world in the British Isles, than what it does for us when we start talking about literacy, orality, and the visual. And I think that when the visual was coming into play, it was coming into play in a realm where there was that oral tradition that may not have been quite as connected to meaning as strongly as we might think it would be.